Success depends on desire. The term genius has been referred to in a number of different prayer treatments. And what do I really mean by the term genius? Less than 1% of the people that begin a project actually stick with the requirements to be successful to bring it to a conclusion. In my view, that qualifies as being a genius. If you start a worthwhile project and bring it to fulfillment, and you're one of those 1%, you really classify as a genius. It doesn't have anything to do with your DNA, family heritage, upbringing, the atmosphere of your home life, or anything else. What matters is, where are you right now, and what is your desire? How serious is it? Is it a serious enough element so that you will bring it to conclusion? There are plenty of tools to assist in doing that. The question is, will you do it? Will you formulate a good, worthwhile project and stick to the formula or plan without deviation, unless there's some reason to be deviating, and not accepting diversions? And when it's done, you will have been successful. You will have been 1 out of 100 to finish what you start on a worthwhile project. Obviously, taking up the sincere study of Christian Science, which includes the system of divine metaphysics, is at the top of the list of being worthwhile. The Mary Baker Eddy Institute gives you all the tools that you need from start to finish. And one of the many beauties of studying the system of divine metaphysics is that it will transform every phase of your life to a dimension superior to what it was previously. It leaves nothing untouched. Everything is elevated to a more spiritual basis, which means a more permanent foundation. There is no difference between one goal and another as long as it is a wholesome goal. And of course, if it's to benefit all humanity, that makes it all the more valuable. The formula is the same regardless of what the project is, as long as it complies with being wholesome, and best is for it to be benefiting all humanity. I have seen people work on a project for 2 or 3 years consistently, and then all of a sudden they give up. Most people will give up long before 2 or 3 years of consistent effort. But that just gives you a clue as to how rare it is for someone to complete a project, if it is a major project, because there appears to be so much resistance for people to become successful that they easily are distracted, diverted, and discouraged. In studying the system of divine metaphysics, we can make progress on a continuous basis. And when we do that, we should be encouraged by the progress that we see taking place every time we study. If one is successful on a study-by-study basis, then there is no reason to throw in the towel and say, this is it, I give up. For you have ongoing proof of the improvements that are taking place. In the study of the system of divine metaphysics, there are some specific quotes and definitions that serve as a foundation for every treatment. And basically, when we study, we're really performing a treatment on our own consciousness. The quotes consist of the introductory quotes to the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. They are the introductory quotes at the very beginning, and there's only three of them. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's from Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John. The second one is a quote by Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third one, by Mary Baker Eddy, says, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. The first one is telling us that if we seek the truth and understand it, it says, ye shall know the truth. Know means to understand. The only way we can understand is to test it, demonstrate it, and prove that what we were thinking was true is provable. And it should be able to be provable by anyone. That means that it is a fact. It is not a personal interpretation. Everything in the Christian Science textbook can be proven to be true by any sincere seeker. That is the ultimate test of whether something is fact or personal opinion. The second quotation by Shakespeare is very powerful. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. In essence, we can map out our experience based on what kind of thoughts we put into our consciousness. If we put in thoughts that are based on the truth about God and the truth about man, then we will be able to experience the relationship between God and man, and we will know that if we have translated things properly, that we will recognize our connection directly to God. And we will also recognize that we cannot have any single quality that is unlike God, because we are God's image and made after God's likeness. The third quote is very obvious. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. God doesn't have any ears, because God is not a mortal being. God is bodiless. God is incorporeal. So God doesn't have any ears or any other feature that is made out of so-called matter. So what could it mean, "O thou hast heard my prayer"? It seems that what Mary Baker Eddy is saying is that if we align ourselves with the truth about what God is and what man is, then we will be able to experience all of the things that are described as qualities of God. So God hearing our prayers means that we have gotten ourselves into alignment with God. The first definition is of God. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That's from page 465, Recapitulation, chapter 14. I shall also read a second definition, which is from the glossary, page 587. God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And on that same page, the definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, which is omni-intelligence, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom, omnipresence, and omni-action. And the definition of man is the fourth definition, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Wow, the full representation of mind. And remember, mind is omnipotence, omniscience, which is stated is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. And that also covers omnipresence and omni-action. The definition of man, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Remember, mind is at the foundation of everything that happens. Like Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad but thinking makes it so. So the foundation of everything is mind. And man is the full expression of mind. We have every tool that anyone could imagine. So if one starts a project, they can remind themselves that the intelligence that I need to further the progress along is within. Because everyone is given the intelligence of mind, the full representation of mind. So there's absolutely no reason to accept a distraction as having any power. Because the only power there is the power of mind. It is omnipotent. All one has to do in order to make continuous progress is realize that we have all of the tools that are referred to just in these few definitions and quotes, and all we have to do is apply them. If we seem to be befuddled, then all we have to do is go and find what are we missing. And if we're befuddled, That sounds like there's chaos instead of balance. So we have to look at the principle. Do we understand the principle of what we're doing? And do we understand that God is all intelligence? And since we reflect the intelligence of God, then we cannot be lacking any intelligence that is needed to work out the problem. The most difficult thing to overcome is to not give credence to diversions. Mary Baker Eddy stated to a student that was asking her help on vision, she said, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" That's the key. There are a multitude of things that can gain our attention as a distraction. Are we strong enough to not yield to temptation and stay on the path and focus on the truth? Focus on these definitions. Focus on the fact that we are the image and likeness of God. And if we seek intelligence, it will be delivered to us so that we can utilize it. Time management is a very important part of being successful in one's life. If one has no sense of time management, they will find that a majority of the idle time they have is totally wasted, unproductive from beginning to end. Mary Baker Eddy states that often the difference between success and failure is how one uses the moment. Now, the moment is defined as the smallest amount of time. It's not defined by mathematics, so many seconds or minutes or whatever. It is simply the smallest measurement of time. The beginning of any 24-hour period includes 1,440 minutes. If you are an average student, in other words, in your grade school, junior high, high school, college, postgraduate work, if you always were just a C student, you're right in the middle of average, and you are not going to be able to excel if you're going to just remain average. The Bible says we should tithe. That means tenth part. That is for a C student. If you just want to plug along, you probably don't need the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. You can just go to the website, pick up whenever you want to, listen to whatever prayer treatment you want to, study when you want to, don't study when you don't want to, listen to a prayer treatment here and there, with no consistency in what you're doing. If you want to have consistency, then you need to do better than being a C student. If you have a burning desire, we can help you succeed in the B or the A or the A plus category. But of course, the desire has to be within you, not within us. Everyone has to work out their own salvation. We will provide the tools and we will guide you. We will give you an ironclad plan that will guarantee that you can heal any problem that there is. But you have to follow what we tell you is required in order to bring that about. We know it works. And when you see what the plan is, you will probably realize that it does work, because there's logic from beginning to end. And you will notice a difference in your life beginning shortly after you embark on the plan, because you will be transforming yourself into wherever you are, into a higher dimension. Most people don't have any idea how to even begin. We've proven this to be true. And we have specific details on the website on how to do it. All you have to do is look under the button links for How Christian Science Heals, Divine Metaphysics, System Platform, and Heal Everything. And those four buttons currently are in the header, which is at the top of every page of the entire website. Hundreds and hundreds of pages. They all have the very same thing at the top of the page. So one click and you go right there. Again, you have to have the desire. You have to want to have a life that is dimensions above what you have currently. You will learn how to get rid of totally any fear. You will learn how to become very confident no matter what comes your way that you have to face. We know it works. And you will recognize that it has to work when you see what the plan is. Mary Baker Eddy stopped whatever she was doing every hour to make sure that she was focusing on good and perfection. No matter whether it was an individual, whether it was an event, big or small, it didn't matter. She guarded her thought so that she kept it on track in alignment with what Jesus said in the first quote in the beginning of the textbook, which again is, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Free of anything that's not truth. You won't be enslaved. You won't be deceived. You won't be accepting anything at all that is unlike truth. And truth has one source. That is the omni-intelligent, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom of the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That is our guide. And the other ones also that are listed on the home page that says Foundation for Every Treatment. That is our foundation. We always want to stick close to that, no matter what we're studying, no matter what the topic. That is our foundation. In taking advanced classes in various topics, I was surprised to see such a common thread among the top professors that I had. They basically always went back to what they considered the basics. It's like those are the rules of the road. Those are the things that are the foundation for whatever the topic is. If you're in mathematics, obviously it's the mathematical tables. If you're in chemistry, it's the elements and how they work together. You can mix some and they're harmonious. Other ones are very caustic and even explosive. The same with music. if you stay in the rules of the harmony of music, you can have a zillion different melodies, but they are all harmonious if you stick to the rules of harmony. And as anyone that knows anything about music, it includes mathematics to a strong degree. It doesn't matter what it is that is the topic or your profession, your avocation. There is a principle that is involved. And that principle is what must be kept always in thought to make sure that you are going to have a balanced view in whatever you do in your algorithm to come up with a conclusion. Being successful in anything you pursue as an endeavor has a very simple formula. Carrying it out is a matter of desire. And you must have a burning desire, because to be successful, you have to put yourself in that 1%. In fact, it's less than 1% of the people that are really successful in whatever they pursue. But they all follow the same pattern. You have to stick to the basics. You cannot be distracted, diverted, deluded in any way. And if you stick to the right path, you will be successful. But you have to be consistent. You can't go 3 steps forward and 1 step back. Be like the turtle. Steady, small progress. Don't be like the rabbit. Ran fast for a little while, got tired, laid along the path to victory, went to sleep, and the turtle walked right on by and got to the finish line first. Isaiah says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Mary Baker Eddy emphasizes that by putting that quote from Isaiah in the beginning as an introduction to chapter 14. And chapter 14 is a summary of chapters 1 through 13, which is the bulk of the textbook. So it's extremely important to realize the importance of that introductory quote. We have to stick close to the foundation for every treatment. And if we do that, we cannot get off track. And we need to do what Mary Baker Eddy did, do a reality check. She did it every hour. She said when she did that, she could heal anything instantaneously. Why? Because your thought is in alignment with truth. You don't have to go after it. You are keeping your thought in alignment with truth. That means that you are already many steps ahead if you don't do it. If you are studying a difficult textbook, what you need to do is go through it once. And then you go back to the beginning and go through it again. And you should record the entire thing in your own words and think about it after every key point and put it in your own words. Just make sure that you give it the understanding with putting it in your own words that doesn't change the original thought by the author. This works marvelously with the Christian Science textbook. If you will go through the Christian Science textbook from beginning to end and follow that procedure, and recording is extremely important. And not just the original text, but recording any thoughts that come to you as you are studying. And then you go back to the beginning and start all over as if you never saw the textbook before. So you don't look at your prior notes. You don't listen to your prior recordings. You start all fresh. And you will be surprised how each time you do that, you will find that new dimensions will become visible to you. You will get a higher level of understanding reading the very same words you read before, because you will have a fresh thought. That's the key to progress. Always have a fresh thought. Einstein says, curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. He also said, you can never solve a problem if you approach it on the same level as where the problem occurred. There was a professor that went to class one day, and he had a king-size white sheet, and he put a little dot right in the epicenter, a little black dot. He hung it across the viewing area of the class. He said, "What do you see?" They thought he was crazy. They saw a white sheet. He said, "Look carefully." They finally realized that there was a black dot there. "Oh, you want us to see that black dot? That's where our focus should be." He said, "That's exactly the opposite of what I want you to be looking at." He says, "Don't get your thought wrapped around a tiny little distraction. Always keep your thought on the big picture and let that guide you in your direction." Wentworth Winslow wrote an article on the bicycle and the brick. He said, if you're riding a bicycle and there's a brick in the road, most people will automatically direct their attention to the brick. And if they do, they will run right into the brick. And that can cause a real problem. Never focus on the distraction. Always focus on the big picture. Wentworth Winslow was a brilliant Christian Science practitioner. He raised a boy from the dead. He had 15-minute appointments with his patients, as did Frederick L. Rawson, Joel Goldsmith. They would have their thoughts so focused on the Christ consciousness that when somebody walked into their office, they could immediately tell what the problem was. They didn't have to listen to 15 or 20 minutes of an explanation. The appointment was going to be totally over in 15 minutes. And generally speaking, the healing had taken place during that time. And if it hadn't, maybe there was something that the patient needed to do, like Wentworth Winslow wrote an article about the mining engineer. And the man came into the office and he was unemployed. Very qualified, but he was out of work. As soon as he left the office, he realized that he had been carrying around a letter in his jacket, his suit jacket, that was an introduction to one of the top people in the industry. And it was signed by another top person in the industry. So anyone that really knew the industry knew both people. The one that was recommending him and the one that was addressed to. He had never thought about it because he had always been employed. But he wanted to keep it with him because it was such a valuable letter. It took a 15-minute appointment with Mr. Winslow to wake himself up that he already had the solution right in his jacket pocket. So as soon as he left the office and he was walking away, he was awakened to the fact that he had that letter. So he walked right over, or I don't know, maybe he drove, whatever it was. He went over to the office of the individual that it was addressed to. And as soon as he entered the office, the fellow said, "I'm so glad you came. We have an opening and we need someone to fill the position right away." And he said, "I know the man that wrote this letter. He's one of the top people in the industry, so I am sure your recommendation is very valid, and we'd like to hire you." Took him 15 minutes and an appointment to realize that the answer was right in his jacket pocket. He never had an employment problem after that. And he had a lot of pressure on him at the time. He had a bank debt that was due that he needed to pay off. He had no idea how he was going to do it. He had no source of income. He was out of cash. So that solved all the problems. Here's another example of paying attention to the big picture. Joel Goldsmith had been called by someone that was at a CS nursing home. And so he went over to visit her. And when he walked into the reception room, the receptionist said, "She's here, but I don't think you want to go see her." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Everyone in the whole organization has the same problem." I think it held, I don't know, 100 or 200 people. He said, "They all have exactly the same problem?" She said, "Yes, and it's contagious. I don't think you want to go in." He laughed. He said, "Well, you only have one problem. All you have to do is heal that one problem, and it will affect everybody in the whole building." So he treated it right there in the reception room. Within like 5 minutes, they had people come out, nurses, I guess, to say that everybody was healed. The whole group, everyone was healed. What happened? What magic took place? The big picture. We always have to look at the big picture. We can't focus on the brick. Can't focus on the little black dot. We can't focus on anything. The fact that it's supposed to be contagious, only a distraction. We have to focus on the big picture. The foundation for every treatment is the foundation we have to focus on. The definition of man is part of that foundation. This is from the glossary. It says, "Man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind." Now, what is mind? Mind is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. No body. Mind is mental. It's not a physical thing. It's not a pulpy substance called a brain. Frederick L. Rawson and his friend Spalding another Christian Scientist, were looking out the window together one time. I presume they were discussing CS. And this was back early 1900s, when there were very few motorized vehicles, especially trucks. And there was a fellow that was driving a cart full of rocks. And he had the inclination to stop and get out and examine the tailgate. And as he did, something alarmed the animal, and he raised up and dumped all the rocks on top of the man. Totally immersed. The big picture? Frederick L. Rawson said, there is nothing but God. He didn't concern himself with the details. He looked at the big picture, the one that's above everything. And he simply said, there's nothing but God. And of course, he knew very well what God represented. He was an avid student of the textbook. He knew God was the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. He also knew the definition of good, which is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, which includes omni-intelligence, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom, and also omnipresence and omni-action. I mean, that doesn't leave anything out. I mean, that is the entire gamut of all action in the entire existence. God is it. Obviously, Frederick L. Rawson knew very well what that all meant. And as soon as he said there is nothing but God, with, of course, the understanding and the confidence and the experience of having utilized exactly what God means in thousands and thousands of healings, the healing was instantaneous. The man jumped out from underneath the pile of rocks, came up through there like a rocket, not a scratch on him. Now, you know, that couldn't be a physical thing. He couldn't get out of there with his head bumping up and moving rocks out of the way at a fast, accelerated pace without probably knocking his head off. That didn't bother Mr. Rawson. All he knew was that God was it. Nothing else had power or presence. And the man was totally healed. Bicknell Young raised himself from the dead. He had drowned. He had a conversation with himself after he was pronounced dead. The discussion is explained in detail on our website, but it basically said, do I want to go on or do I want to go back? Are there things I can do for humanity? If so, I want to go back. And his thought was flooded with things he could do for humanity. So he went back. But he had to have his thought on the big picture. He couldn't be focusing on, well, geez, I'm dead. You know, I'm drowned. Jesus is the only one I know of that raised himself from the dead. That didn't bother Bicknell Young. And when he awakened from the belief of death, sometime after that, he started having quite a few people come to him to get advice on how to solve their business problems. He found that they didn't know anything about their business. And they came to him for a miracle. Maybach Reddy says that Jesus was able to be divine only after he was able to exercise superiority over the physical. Everyone that came to him wanting help on their business, if they didn't know the ins and outs completely of the business they were in, he said, you have to go learn your business. Christian Science isn't going to help you if you don't even know your business. Now, if you need to draw on the intelligence of God to know how to learn about it, fine. But you have to demonstrate that. And if then you have a problem, then come back and see me. But only after you know all of the facets of your business. You need to know how every department should be functioning. You should be able to go to work in any one of those departments and operate it for a day. And if there's a problem you can't solve, then come and see me. Frederick L. Rosen gave us a beautiful example of the big picture. He discovered how to treat back in time. Now, how could he do that? Unless he was looking at the big picture. He realized that the big picture included the fact that there is no such thing as time. He said they used to teach in school that there was no such thing as time. He said they used to. He didn't say how long before this that he was talking about. And he left us around 1925, so 100 years ago. So do we want to think about how we would do that? We should be able to figure it out. It's very logical. Read about it on our website. Anyone can do it. All you have to do is understand the principle. What are the factors you have to understand? And how can you apply it so you can actually go back in time and heal the situation? You can go back in time when the first instance came to your thought that you had a problem. Then you will wipe out of all memory of those that thought you had a problem, as well as your own memory, and you won't be carrying that around anymore because you will not remember it at all. Neither will anyone else. If you go back in time, that means that the time from then until now didn't exist for that problem. I know of a fellow that went into an isolated living situation for 20 years, and he was developing a very comprehensive mathematical AI program. No one's ever come close to it. And when he finished the project, he looked in appearance exactly like when he started the project 20 years earlier. People that knew him said, "You haven't aged a minute. You look exactly the same as when you left." He was out of contact with humanity. You see, the universal belief comes automatically being in the atmosphere of mortal thinking. So if we want to get outside of that atmosphere, then we cannot be inundated with mortal thinking. We have to only think about the immortal. I visited a church one time, and there was a gal probably in her 80s or maybe even early 90s. And she sang the hymns by reading from the hymnal, holding it the normal distance as if she had no vision problem. She wore no glasses. And after the service, I went up to her because I was in the same aisle, only a couple of people away. And so I said, "It's beautiful that you have overcome the belief of eye weakness with age." She said one short sentence, "I keep after it." One very important element in having success in healing is to understand the importance of love. People think of love as attributes such as caring, tenderness, kindness, forgiveness, nurturing. Real spiritual love is impersonal, not attached to any human being. It is putting forth love to all humanity. You could see a stranger on the street, and you could be projecting love to that individual if you see them in need. If you have a genuine smile when you walk down the street, that is impersonal. You're projecting it universally. No one can be successful in healing unless they are living a life of giving. That's what love is. It is giving. The Bible says we should tithe. That means a tenth part. I take that to mean that that is for an average student. Are you an average student? When you went to school, grade school, junior high, high school, if you went to college and then postgraduate work, were you just a straight C student all the way through? Well, then you're average. If you want to go interview for a job, you're not going to get much attention, because people that are willing to hire new people, they generally want to have a superior performer, not an average performer. I never hired anyone when I was in business that wasn't really a top student. High A's and maybe a few B's, because it paid off. They wanted to succeed, and they did whatever it took in studying and learning the topics until they could be superior in their learning and their testing. If you're one of those, it's easy to get a job. Everybody wants you to come. Those are the only kind of people that one should hire if they want to have an excellent business where you excel in everything you do and the service you provide to the people. What are the different ways you can give? I think the Bible refers primarily to giving money, but that's only a small part of the total. We have 24 hours a day, which is 1,440 minutes. How much are we willing to devote to the study of CS? How much are we willing to devote to giving to others? Taking dedicated time each day to actively look for those in need and help to provide assistance to solve their problems. It's easy to find people in need, especially the way the America has been torn apart by lunatics burning down the cities and trying to destroy America. It looks like we're going to rebuild America now that we finally got rid of the lunatic administration that was fake, that never even won the election, and the one that is named as the president has not even been here for over 4 years. They've had actors playing his part, and the actors are only puppets of the handlers. So it's been a joke. Total joke. We are the laughing stock of the world. No more. No more. New sheriff in town. And the change took place only 10 days ago, or 11 days. Today's the 31st of January. The election was the 20th. I could continue for a long time with examples of how to look at the big picture and what the benefits are, which are proven in the healing that is the result of focusing on the big picture. But you have enough examples to understand the value. But think seriously about how you can give a life of giving, living a life of giving, because that's what you've got to do if you want to be successful in healing. If you want to be successful in improving your life, I'm not even referring to being in the Christian Science practice where you help others out of a difficult situation. I'm talking about just yourself, because you start at home. You have to prove that you know enough about it, that you have demonstrated things that are very important. You're going to be an example to whomever you are dealing with. And if you're not a good example, you won't be successful. We need to be grateful for everything in our lives and the sources for them. If you've been studying Christian Science, have you given gratitude for everything that has been a help to you? We have thousands of people that visit our website. We have people that have downloaded everything we have on our website. It's worth tens and tens of thousands of dollars. Seminars that we're selling for $500 a piece. Books, $20, $30 a piece. As of right now, everything is free. How many out of the thousands and thousands of people that visit our website do you think make donations? We get a handful a year. All but a handful give nothing in donations. Nothing. Zero. Do you think they're going to be successful in healing when they're forgetting the most important element, which is love? When they're forgetting another very important thing, which is a part of love, which is gratitude. Jesus healed 10 lepers. One of them. One of them. Even thanked Jesus. Only one. Pathetic. Very pathetic. Jesus tutored 12 people. Well, and hundreds others. He had hundreds of other disciples. But even the close 12, how many showed up at the crucifixion? One. One. John. John. And one of his healings, Mary Magdalene. Lazarus was not even there. raised him from the dead. Tabitha wasn't there. Pathetic. They didn't even care to support him when he was being crucified. So I guess our average is about the same that Jesus had. Thousands and thousands of people visit our website. That is a self-destruct policy. Because without giving, without living a life of giving, without living a life of gratitude, you will never be successful in healing. I talked to a fellow that I've known for 20 years or more. He's never made a single donation. He has a Christian Science website. And I said, "Do you ever go to our website?" He said, "Oh, I'm there all the time. Every time you make something new available, I download it. My wife and I are always listening to something from your website." He said, "Oh, very interesting." He's never given a penny. Not a dime. Not a dollar. What do you think happened about 2 weeks later? He called and asked for a donation. He said, "My wife and I are having a difficult time, and I'm wondering if you would be able to give a donation to us." So we sent him some money. What we do doesn't have anything to do with what someone else does. If he doesn't want to be grateful, that's his business. He has to work out his own salvation. But our business is how we are going to conduct our lives. Are we going to be an institute of giving? I mean, we give everything on the website free. Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars worth of things that people can download for free. And if they want to call and discuss anything, I will openly have a conversation with them. I will support them. I will help train them, learn. Never put any limit on what I would do to help someone. It's an individual decision on how we are going to conduct our lives. I'm grateful for everyone that I've learned from out of the Old Testament, the New Testament, obviously among others, Christ Jesus and Paul, obviously everybody from Christian Science, which would be at the head of the list, Mary Baker Eddy, and her top students, all of which have written some very fine things, such as the ones mentioned and other ones. I've learned tremendously from others. I've been in the Institute for over 20 years, about 25 years, and I learned a tremendous amount from one that was in the Institute before I was. They worked directly with Helen Wright, the founder. The Institute was begun in 1988. I gained a lot from that individual that worked directly with Helen Wright. Very grateful for everyone, and we should express it often. Mary Baker Eddy had her metaphysical college from 1881 to 1898. And in her final classes, she taught a series of 7 short treatments called the Diapason of Heaven. And I shall read the one for love. I will close with this one treatment by Mary Baker Eddy. "Declare often, love is my God. And my God is love. Good is my God, and my good is love. Love is my God, and my love is good. Love is my principle, and my principle is love. Love is the law of my being. Divine love is enthroned in my consciousness as my God. This is the Word of God. Amen.